Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 234. Do you want to be healed? Guest minister Eli Frauhiger delivered this message on Sunday evening, January 9th, 2022 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Good evening, everyone. So glad that you could join us tonight. It has been a wonderful weekend. Amen. The Lord has moved in a mighty, mighty way. Welcome to those of you watching via Facebook and YouTube. We welcome you this evening. I hope that you are ready to receive some healing coming your way. Amen. Amen. Let's see who's all here. You guys are ready to receive, like Sister Sarah said? Are you really ready to receive? Because Jehovah Rapha is here. Is it He? He is our healer, and He's here to meet our every need. Amen. And he wants you well. Jesus wants you well. You know, that's what He died for at the cross. Amen. He paid for all already. So the healing is ours. Amen. I want to share with you from the book of John this evening the story of many of you probably already heard the story of the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. So go with me to the Gospel of John 5, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 15. So I'll give you a little bit of time to get there. So we're going to read the story of the man that was lame at the pool of Bethesda. I just want to let you know, Bethesda is in Hebrew, and it means house of mercy. Okay, is everybody there? Say amen. 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 After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, which I just told you it is called the house of mercy, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. 5. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" 7. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps in down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." Can you imagine that? He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Hallelujah. He got healed, 38 years laying there. Wow, right? So let's take a little bit. I want to point out certain areas of this story, because Just imagine, I was going to have a picture, but I didn't get to it. But just imagine walking into a place where there's a pool and there's, I'm imagining lots of people sick, waiting for the healing. They're waiting for the angel of the Lord, says some verse 4, to stir the waters. So they're laying there waiting to receive the healing. I noted that Jesus, I mean, out of all these people, he picks the one man because he knows something's up with him. I mean, it's obvious that he was lame, right? He's laying there with these crutches and he's not on his feet. And Jesus said to him, do you want to be made well? The Lord is asking that to us this evening. Do you want to be made well? Do you? Are you here for your healing? Right? I mean, you would think, what a silly question. Hello, you know? You know, Jesus asked him that. Because, I mean, I would say, you know, yes. But listen to what the man said. The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool. What do you guys hear? Some excuse here? Excuses, that's what I'm hearing. This man, you know, it's like, it's everybody else's fault. They get in before me. He didn't say yes. If Jesus came to you and said, do you want to be made well? What would your answer be? Yes, I've been waiting 38 years, Jesus. He didn't even know this was Jesus, obviously, right? He's waiting for the waters to be stirred so that he can try to jump in there. I'm thinking here, you know, if I was the man, like, you know, just hear me out. And I can't walk. 38 years, you think I'd be like, I don't know, scooting myself up, you know? You ever seen a little baby when they're just trying to crawl? I mean, they're using their belly and they're scooting. I mean, I wiggle something, right? And this man was just laying there. So Jesus knew the condition of this man. And I'm not talking like the visual, the physical, right? He knew the condition about this man. Talking about him being lame, you know? He knew that he had an issue, like a heart issue, an emotional issue. Maybe a mindset issue, right? Because he had not done anything. He's already given excuses to why he is there for 38 years. A long, long time. And Jesus knows our condition as well. He does. Sometimes we try to hide, you know, to put up a front like everything's okay. We walk in through these doors and like, oh, everything's wonderful, everything's great. But inside, there's something going on. We're troubled. Amen. We're maybe emotionally not feeling well. But we try to cover up because we don't want anybody else to know. We don't want anybody else to know what's going on in our lives. Right? But Jesus does. Jesus knows what you need. All the time. Isn't that wonderful that he does, just like he knew this man at the pool of Bethesda. Amen. But then he tells him, right? When the man answers him and tells him that I have nobody to put me into the pool. How many times or how many people do you know that they always have an excuse? Like, I just haven't gotten, you know, healed from this because I have all these problems. I have these issues. My high blood pressure, you know, I don't have enough money or all kinds of issues that is causing it. And they complain about it. They complain and complain and complain. And when we complain, we remain in that situation. Sometimes we come to church and we come up to get healing and we are not even ready to receive. You know, Pastor Harley talked this morning. I think I make a little note here. He talked this morning about three things have to happen when you want to receive your healing, right? He said, you know, the elders need to lay hands on, right? And then God's power is going to come through. So if those things, those two things are done on Sunday morning, but the third one is not, which is you have to be ready to receive. And if you're not ready to receive, even though the elders anoint you with oil, right? And you come up here and we anoint you with oil and pray for you. But if your heart is not ready to receive, then the healing is not happening, right? 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sins, you know, might live for righteousness." Amen. By whose stripes you were healed. Is the word, the verb, the tense there, it says were. You were healed. Not you're going to be healed. You are healed already. The healing is yours. That's what Jesus died on the cross for your healings, for my healing. Amen. So if we're walking around thinking, oh, well, hoping like this man at the pool of Bethesda, because his hope was in the water, right? He has Jesus in front of him. He has Jesus, the truth, the life. Jehovah Rapha in front of him. He doesn't even realize that. But his hope is in the water, waiting. Maybe tomorrow, you know, if somebody doesn't get ahead of me, maybe I'll jump in there, you know, maybe the next day. So he obviously had some hope, right? Because he went there. He knew healing was happening at that place. So he went there. He had hope. But then every time, somebody else jumped ahead of him. Because his mindset was not set on like, I'm going in there and I'm getting my healing. Amen. And Jesus is in front of him and he doesn't realize. You know, his eyes was fixed on the water to be troubled when he has Jehovah Rapha in front of him. Where is your hope tonight? Is your hope fixed on Jesus? On the healer? On Jehovah Rapha? Is that where your hope lies today? Romans 5:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Where is your hope today? Because Jesus is in the room and he wants you well. Are you ready to receive that? And then 8, it says, "Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk." Notice that Jesus is telling the man to rise. The man is crippled, right? He is telling him to rise. But the man immediately says, the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. Some of us had been laying on the mat way too long. And Jesus is telling us to pick up our mat and walk. I don't know what you came here with tonight, whether it's physical healing or emotional feeling. I sense that in the spirit that there's some of you, perhaps maybe a lot of you watching on Facebook or YouTube, or some of you that will be watching the replay, that you've gotten comfortable in your mat. And Jesus is telling you, pick it up. Pick it up because I am here, your healer. I've already paid for it at the cross. don't lay on that mat anymore. Maybe it's depression that you've been dealing with. Maybe it's something that happened to you when you were a child and you just can't let it go emotionally and you need to, forgive somebody. I don't know what your troubles are tonight. I don't know what your situation is, but Jesus does. He does. And He is our healer, Jehovah Rapha. You know? Then he immediately took his mat and walked, and he wants us to pick up our mat and walk, to shake off the stuff that's hindering us. Maybe it's a mental thing, a hindrance in your mind. You keep going back to the same old thing over and over. Maybe it's an addiction that you can't shake off. Maybe it's some soul wounds that have been there for way too long. God wants to heal that. God wants to heal your soul. He wants to heal your mind. He wants you well. He wants me well. And tonight, He's here, and He wants to minister to you in that area, whatever that might be. Then we go down to 10. And the Jews therefore said to him, who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. Can you imagine somebody telling you, oh, it's the Sabbath. You can't receive your healing. You can't be walking. And the man was lame for 38 years. He's looking like, who are you? The man just told me, right, to pick up my mat and walk. And he answered them, He who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is the man who said it to you? Here he still doesn't know who the man was. Jesus had been in his presence. Jesus had spoken the word and he was healed. And this man still didn't know who it was. Help us, Lord, to know where you're speaking to us. He said, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn. There was a lot of people there, being in that place. And I was thinking, as I was writing my notes, there was many people there, right? Like, I don't know, maybe it's just me and my flesh, but if I was Jesus, I would be like, all of you be healed and whole and delivered, right? That I would have thought, I would be like, yeah, I want to lay hands on people. Be whole, be made whole. Pick up your mat, pick up your couches, whatever it is. Be healed, be whole, and walk. But he only picked this one man. I think he's trying to illustrate to us that he hears from his Father. And this man that had been there for 38 years was in the Father's heart. You know, Jesus says, I only speak what my Father speaks. And I only say, and I only do what my Father does. So Jesus was walking by there, and the Father said, that one, he needs healing. She needs healing. That one, I can see the emotions, the hurt. Jesus can see our hurt. He can see our emotions. And you may say, I can suppress it, right? And push it down. And forget about it maybe sometimes. And not think about what happened to me as a child. And not think about, the words that was spoken to me. And just suppress it. But Jesus knows. And you guys know that he wants to deal with it. He wants, in my heart, he wants to stir it up. He wants to bring that back up so that he can deal with it. And heal your emotions. And heal those wounds. So we can just get up and go, right? So we are not hindered by that, you know, that memory. And I this is not in my notes, so this is for somebody. You know, to be healed in our emotions. Because we can't move forward in that. And I feel this is somebody that had a lot of issues in their childhood. And it's one thing on top of one thing. And then you're just trying to, like, breathe, like, come up and say, okay, now I'm a child of the Most High God, but I got this bag that I'm carrying. You know, that and Jesus, in Matthew 11, 28, he says, come to me, right? Come to me. Because he says his burden is easy, and right? His burden is easy. And his yoke, it's light. So you are carrying, even though you have become a Christian and you're walking with Jesus, you are carrying this big bag, and I see this big sack, walking, trying to be a victorious Christian, but you have this huge sack of stuff, of hurts and pain from your past, maybe from your past relationships, right? That relationship's over with, but you can't move forward because you got this junk. What they say, junk in the trunk or junk in the bag that you are carrying, and you're just limited. Maybe this man had a mat, but maybe some of us or some of you, I think I'm speaking to some of you on Facebook, you're carrying this weight around you. And the Lord says, shake it off. I'm here to set the captives free, to break off all the old stuff, to deliver you from that pain and to give you love and hope and healing to that place. He wants to bring it up, and I think this is a reminder for somebody that just because that happened to you as a child or a teenager, whatever that was, there's hope in Jesus. There's healing in Jesus. There's deliverance in Jesus. Amen? And he will just bring you in his ashes. I see a bunch of ashes. So beauty for ashes. He will give you beauty for ashes. Amen, like the book of Isaiah says. So dust off the ashes and rise up with Jesus. Pick up your mat and walk with him, because he has great plans for you. And sometimes we can't do what God is asking us to do because we've got this big burden and we can't move forward. We're always going back to that same place. Jesus says, we're not going back. Like the song we sang this morning, those of you who were here, there's no turning back. I'm leaving it behind. Do you think that this man at the pool of Bethesda, you know, he carried up his mat. I'm like, what do you want it for, right? I'm thinking, leave it there. But he was being obedient, right? He was listening to Jesus. He told him, pick up your mat and walk. So maybe doing some cleanup, you know, why not? But I sure hope that this man got rid of that mat, because I wouldn't want to be laying back on it, right? When Jesus sets us free from things, we don't want to go back to it. We don't want to go back to that. I said, no, Jesus has set me free. And when the enemy starts telling you, remember when? Remember back then when you were told that you were not going to be good enough? Remember that? He tries to bring it back up. He tries to bring your mat back up so you can go back and lay on it. And we have to take the thoughts captive and say, no, no, I'm not going back to that. Jesus has set me free. Jesus has set me free from that, and I'm not going back to that, right? But God always turns everything around for your good, because he makes out of your story. You know, my story is for his glory, I always say. My story is for God's glory. That becomes your testimony. That you can minister to people and say, yes, I was once verbally abused. Yes, I was once told that I was not going to be good enough, that nobody loved me, that my mother left me, that my father left me when he found out that my mother was pregnant. I was told I was going to be no good, that nobody loved me. Right? Rejection from birth. Right? And as I grew up, from the age, I was verbally abused from the age of 5 to 12 years old. every night felt been told that I was no good, that I wasn't going to become anybody, that I was going to be just an outcast, that nothing good can come out of me. But the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar because Jesus has set me free. And I'm preaching to you tonight. Come on. Right? The Lord has good plans for us. So we need to grab on to the healing. We need to grab on to deliverance. We need to grab on to the hope and the love in Jesus. So I say this to say this, that just because your past wasn't so great, Jesus is good. Jesus is great. And you rising up and you moving forward in your calling. Because everybody has a calling. Oh, well, I'm not called to preach. Let me tell you, when you share your testimony, that is preaching. It may be just the one person. It may not be on a platform. But Jesus wants you well so that you can do what he has called you to do in whatever level that looks like. Amen. Some of you are called to minister in the workplace where you work. Jesus is going to bring people that have the similar areas where you came out of to minister to them, to bring healing, to bring deliverance. Time and time again, I keep getting that because Jesus knows. You go talk to Sister Sarah because she dealt with that, you know, in the spirit. And then that person ends up talking to Sister Sarah. And it's not a coincidence. It's a divine appointment because it's like that was a divine appointment when Jesus walked into the pool of Bethesda and saw them and said, ah, him, right? It's his time for healing. There's people out there waiting for us to minister to them, right? Because once you receive your healing, once you walk in victorious with Jesus, it's time to put, you know, feet to the, well, I don't know how they say it here in America, pedal to the metal, I don't know, right? Get working. Get working. Your heal, whole, and delivery, get working. Start doing what God's calling you to do, right? So he wants to get you well so that you be at that place where you can move forward. Amen? And we are called as the Great Commission to set the captives free. Amen? So let's go back to our story. I just get all like, oh, so excited. So thank you, Jesus, right? And here they're telling him, the Jews, the religious leaders, are telling him that, you know, you can't do that. You can't carry your mat in the Sabbath. You know, it's unlawful to you to carry that. But Exodus 35 tells us that, you know, God gave us an extra day to rest, right? It says you should work 6 days and then rest one day. I think that was God just an example for us. That we need his rest. Amen. To take rest from our worries. To take rest from our difficulties. From our concerns of life. That we would take a day of rest in God. Right? Sister Sarah was talking about spending time with the Lord. I just see people just running around and we're not resting. We're working for the money, more money, right? It's not about the money. It's about Jesus. It's about the call in your life. Don't keep focusing on the money. Don't be focusing on things that you're lacking. Don't be focusing on that. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jehovah Rapha, your healer. So you are here tonight. And there's a need, and Jesus knows your need. He knows your every need. Even in Facebook Live, you are watching through the waves, but Jesus is here and it's there too. There's no time and no space for Jesus. There's no time, no space limited to Jesus. He can heal you right there where you're at in your couch. Right there in your at. You just be open to receive your healing tonight because it's yours. Jesus died for it. Amen. Amen. And then, you know, further a little bit down, Jesus meets up with him, right? He wants to make sure that this lame man knows it was Jesus. Why do you think he did that? Because this man's going to have to tell people, Jesus was my healer. His testimony, right? His testimony would be like, I was there for 38 years, and here comes this man, and his name was Jesus, and he healed me and set me free. Not just from being lame, but from my mindset, from my depression, from my emotions, right? The whole thing, not just what we see in that, you know, you might see somebody coming in with a broken arm or whatever, but that might just be the little thing. There might be a lot of things in that person that really, that are run deep, that needs healing. And Jesus is the healer. He is Jehovah Rapha, and he is here tonight. How am I doing with time, Sister Rivka? Am I good? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. So as we meditate on his word and how he is so good and so faithful, and he healed this man at the pool of Bethesda, I'm sure that if I asked around this room, there will be some of you that have a testimony on how God healed you. Amen. That I can pass the mic around and you can share how God healed you, or maybe somebody else that you know. I know I got several healing testimonies, and I'm going to share one really quickly because I don't know how we're doing in time. Actually, I have three, but one is what I'm going to share with you, and it's my older son. I have two boys, and you guys, most of you know me well, know that. I have two boys, one named Tommy, he's 15, and then my son Tyler, he's 29. This is my son Tyler was 8 years old. At the time, I was just a very early new believer, but I didn't know prayer worked, and I was called at work on an emergency call, and they said, Mrs. Frohiger, your son is in the emergency room. We're taking him over, or we're heading to the hospital so to meet him there. And I was frazzled, and I'm like, can you imagine getting a phone call at work? Your son's on the way to the emergency room. We don't know what's going on with him. So I rushed to Lutheran Hospital, and I get there, and they said, yeah, we're taking him into the emergency room, and the doctor says that we're going to do an MRI, I think it was called, an MRI, and they put him in this tube, and they do hundreds of pictures, and, you know, MRIs are very, very accurate, and when they got the results, they called me in into the doctor's meeting room, and how many of you know when you can see the doctor's face that there's not good news? It shows in their countenance, right? Because he didn't have a smile on his face. And he said, Ms. Frager, we have to talk to you. And brought me into the room, and they had the slide projector. I don't know what the names are, but and it had probably 100 views of his brain, of my son's brain. And they pointed out the spot on every picture was about a quarter size big. Every view, there was this. And they said, this mass here is not supposed to be here. So they didn't call it cancer. You just call it a mass. Sometimes doctors are trying to be nice, I think, to you, so you're already in shock. But there was a mass, a quarter size. And being a mom, a single mom at that, my world just crumbled, right? Here's my 8-year-old son. Here's the MRI, and he's got a quarter size mass on his brain. But I became a Christian 4 years prior to that, and I knew prayer work. So we left the hospital, and they told me that in two weeks we're going to bring him back in and do another MRI, and they're going to inject some kind of color. Like, I don't know the terminology, so forgive me for that. Some kind of color into his vein so they could see better and be able to determine how we're going to treat this mass. And said, okay, so for 2 weeks, was the longest weeks of my life, I did nothing but prayed. Jesus, I called out to Jesus, help me, help my son, heal him, Lord. I know you can do it. You know, by this time I was, 4 years into the Word, I knew that Jesus was my healer and he could do a miraculous healing for him. I went to church and I told the elders, right? I told the elders and they had a prayer and I told the elders and they prayed for him, all of the pastors at the church that we were going to, and they anointed him with oil. You know, James 5:4 says, if anyone among you is sick, then he must call for the elders of the church and they are to pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And they did that. And I have faith that Jesus was going to come through. I prayed. That is all I did. I would go to work like a robot and pray on the line. Jesus, just crying out to Jesus, heal my son, heal my son. At that point, I didn't know like what we know now with our training, right? With Caden Hagen, to thank God already for his healing. I didn't know that back then. All I knew is I was crying out to God, and that's all I knew. Please, please help my son. He's only 8. He's only 8. Help my son. 2 weeks went by, and I think we had several prayers at our church because I was part of the children's ministry, so all the children's pastor prayed, and then I was part of the drama team, so all the drama team prayed. I mean, I was like, anybody I can get a hold of, please. I was listening to Joyce Meyer's ministries. I emailed them, please pray for my son. Anyone I could get a hold of, pray for my son. Please pray for my son. 2 weeks, we went back in. I took him, and they did the MRI. So, you know, they say, well, it'll be maybe 3 to 4 days before we get a result, and then we can let you in on what the treatment's going to be. 4 days. That is a long time. I already waited 2 weeks. Now I got to wait 4 days for the results. And I waited, and I prayed, and I waited, and I prayed. I got a phone call. That was Wednesday. So it was maybe more than 4 days. Monday, maybe on Monday or Tuesday, I got a phone call, and I was at home. And this is back then when we still had the phones at our homes, right? We didn't have the cell phones. So I picked up the phone in my living room, and they said, Mrs. Frohiker? I said, yes. He goes, this is Dr. So-and-so. It was a specialist. I don't know what they called him. And I said, yes. He goes, well, you are in a speakerphone. I wanted you to know you're a speakerphone. And I said, yes. He goes, well, there's 8 other doctors sitting here, and we are examining your son's results. And I'm like trembling at my knees because, you know, waiting to see what they're saying. I said, yes. He goes, we are filing this one as a miracle. We cannot find it. We cannot find it. So glory be to God. My son was 8 years old then. He's 29 now. He has never had any issues. Ever back again went about his brain or any of that. Never come back. It was a miracle. And if my son can receive a miracle, so can you. There's somebody watching tonight that you have gotten bad news. Because the cancer came back. Jesus is your healer. He will heal you tonight. Receive. Receive tonight. And I share the testimony because it's great to hear the gospel. It is great to hear the stories. But when you share your testimony, you know, in Revelations it tells us to share, you know, their testimony. We overcome, you know, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So share your testimony. Whatever kind of testimony you have, is it a healing testimony? Whatever it is, a finance testimony, share it because others need to hear it. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House Podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.